following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 56 for August 17th, 2010. Just say no to Larry. Hi, everybody. How is everyone today? I know we are a little bit frenetic here, but hopefully we can get this out and without too much fuss.
Yes, after we have had a couple of mishaps on our recording process, yes. And this is like try number three.
Exactly.
Because we're totally incompetent.
Well, no, not really. Maybe not. I mean, anyway, but first we'd like to start out with some listener interaction. One piece of listener interaction we'll save for later because it actually will help us stay on task.
Yes, but we are excited that we actually had some correspondence with listeners over this past week.
Three or four different listeners, so that's just fantastic. I'd like to send a shout out to Dan Eichmeyer, who has agreed to help us with some of our Tech Access Daily Tips. A lot of people have been loving this tips feed, and he has agreed to help us provide tips on Mac products. Since we don't use the Mac, he has agreed to occasionally contribute tips of his own to our feed concerning the Macintosh. So that is a completely wonderful, awesome thing because we don't have one to use. Likewise, if any of you have either ideas about or actual tips that you want to contribute to us, let us know and we can set you up to do that.
Yes, exactly. And one of our recent tips, which was restoring the iPhone, because last week we jailbroke the iPhone before Apple fixed the PDF hole that stopped the jailbreak me from occurring. Rod Skeen had written in asking what the progress song was that we were using in our
in that tip
where we're saying please wait.
Yeah, and I used this before when we were talking about activating the iPhone when I first got the iPhone, but used it again in this tip. This song itself is called Popcorn, and it is by somebody or a group called Hot Butter. And I don't actually know what album it comes off of. Someone was shared it with me, and I thought it'd be the perfect thing to use for this. And the way I got it to say processing, please wait, was simply writing that into Notepad and recording it with Goldwave every few seconds. I think I used ScanSoft Samantha as the voice, since that is the voice that is on the iPhone.
Very clever.
And mixing it in. Oh, yes, I'm so clever. but we got someone saying they enjoyed it, and I'm glad because I had my reservations when I did it. But
yes, we got a good laugh out of that for probably 5 minutes.
Yes.
That we've been waiting for someone to say, what in the heck is that?
Exactly. Exactly. So we also had some other Twitter thoughts come in.
Yeah, Kevin Chow wrote in. He is a apparent devoted listener and Twitter follower. He wrote in regarding the Kindle story that we had talked about the previous week where the prices are dropping on the Kindle, and he had expressed thoughts on whether or not the Kindle and Amazon will ever get their act together and actually turn on accessibility for menus and settings and such, because the iBooks that Apple uses allows for accessible content using VoiceOver. But in order to turn on the text-to-speech on the Kindle, you actually have to have sight in order to navigate to it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way to do it
manually. There isn't. And they've been promising a fix, and it hasn't come. So hopefully we're right, and we agree with Kevin here, that hopefully this time around they'll give an answer.
Because Kindle 3 is out for pre-order.
Yes.
But I looked at the ad, and I didn't really see anything that mentioned accessibility. So
right.
Who knows?
Some other interaction from Twitter. How should we go about, how should we go about talking about this one? This was interesting.
Yeah.
Last week, we had some commentary from someone regarding our website.
Yes.
And let's
refer to him as Larry of Newhart.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have seen Newhart, you will be able to figure this out. If you haven't,
Don't worry about it.
It's just Larry.
Yeah. So Larry tweeted us. Actually, he tweeted to someone else about us, but we saw it on the timeline because we happen to follow Larry, that he was very disappointed in our website and the fact that our Flash player is inaccessible, which we perfectly know and understand. You take over from here, dear.
Well, and Larry is kind of known for being abrasive a little bit in his tone when he's writing, or at least that's my understanding. I really haven't had any interactions with Larry before. He was just commenting that it was very disappointing. Things like it was very disappointing that for a tech podcast dealing with accessibility, that our website had elements that were not accessible. Well, yeah, we try to use a theme and put things on the website that are actually accessible to everyone. The Flash player that we are using is through archive.org that puts it out for embedding your podcast feed. I had played with several different Flash players in the past, and none of them really were accessible. Larry had pointed out that Darker Project?
Darker Project's player is not accessible.
Well, he was pointing out that it was accessible.
Well, no
and
longer.
And you went and tried that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was saying, oh, well, maybe you should try and get their Flash player because it is accessible. And someone chimed in, or no, you checked it
I
out
checked
with
it.
JAWS, and there was only one button that was accessible.
One button, a play pause button, or play mute button, I think is what it was. And that was it. There was the stop was not accessible. The rewind and fast forwards were not accessible. I used that player, I think, a year ago, and it seems like it maybe was a little more accessible then, but it is not now. Regardless of whether or not it is accessible, it is not embeddable on our site. Other players that are accessible, I know of the BBC News Flash player is accessible. Again, not embeddable. And I know of some other Flash players that are accessible, but they are on Drupal, the Drupal platform, not WordPress, which is what we use. So again, we ask this and continue to ask this since we started this site. If anybody knows of a WordPress plugin Flash player that is embeddable and accessible,
please
let us know.
And as HTML5 becomes more and more prevalent, there are options out there for that. Potentially, but because there are no browsers other than, I believe Firefox is now allowing that, but Internet Explorer 8 does not
yet,
and Chrome is just barely becoming accessible because of Google doing their thing. It's just kind of a poor way of doing it, but by following Larry, it seems like his ploy is to always sort of attack people that aren't accessible just for the joy of doing it.
And to get attention.
Yeah.
And I think that we wanted to bring this up only to state that we are aware it's not accessible. For the meantime, until we find an accessible solution, the best thing that we know to do is to give people options. Either you can open it up in a new window and listen to it, or you can download it.
Yeah, there's three or four options on the website where mm-hmm. you can do it. You can use the Flash player if you want to. You can click the play in window, and what that'll do is it'll actually pop up a new window on the web page, a new web page window on your browser, and it'll automatically start playing.
Right.
So you can open and close. Same deal as doing play pause type of thing. The best option is the download link, which will actually allow you to download the MP3 file, or it will launch your default media player. So if you've got Winamp or Windows Media Player or VLC or GOM Player or anything like that, it's automatically going to pop up and play an MP3 directly in your
media player of choice.
Yeah. And another option that you can do, like if you're on the iPhone, I've been trying to figure out how to get the site more accessible on the iPhone. The best way for that right now is to go under where you subscribe to the feed. So if you go to the actual RSS feed that is through FeedBurner, there is a link that says Play Now. That button actually appears from Google in the feed, so that you can see it on the iPhone. So that is a good option.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple options. It's very easy to pick one or the other, whichever one is accessible or preferred by you.
Exactly.
The easiest way is to use the RSS feeds and then get it in your favorite podcatcher.
Exactly.
That's the best way.
We will also say that there are some problems with the iBlink radio application that we're not quite sure about how to fix.
Yeah, and I've sent emails to direct tweets to Sarah Tech, but I really haven't heard anything back.
Yeah, so and we don't really know how their stuff works, and we've done on our end what we think we need to do, but somehow the feed isn't updating properly.
Yeah. Now, so, some of the comments coming across Twitter were that, well, you should use plain text websites. Plain text websites, yeah, you can use that, but it looks like an archaic website, and anyone that has vision is not going to be thrilled with that.
Yeah, and
we try to aim this podcast so that everyone has something to listen to. That's why we include mainstream tech stories and commentary along with the assistive tech.
Mm-hmm. And we try and include assistive tech about other, you know, disabilities than visual impairment. Admittedly, sometimes we don't know as much about other disabilities as visual impairment, so that's mostly what gets here. But we want this podcast to appeal to as broad a variety of people as possible. So to that end, limiting your website to plain text draws away a significant number of people. So we felt that we really couldn't in good conscience do that.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple of pages that Larry had done, and I had noticed that some of the pages, the lines were not wrapping and things in WordPress, and it was just kind of...
It's not something that you would notice if you were blind and having JAWS read it or a screen reader read it. But if you have vision, it's very disconcerting to look at that kind of thing. So plain text isn't always the best option if you want to appeal to the widest audience.
Yeah. Now, if anyone out there is a web developer and would like to volunteer some assistance, please do so. I have worked in web development some, but time schedules, work schedule, and all that kind of stuff, I can't devote time to it. I'm not a student. I work full time.
We also can't devote significant amounts of money to getting people to develop for us.
No, we have not started a donation plan yet.
No. So we're doing
24-hour telethon coming soon.
We're doing what we can do. And I apologize if we seem to be getting a little defensive, but I felt it was important for us to kind of state where we were coming from and where we were at so that if you all felt a need to comment, we just wanted to clarify our position a little bit.
Yeah, and we know accessibility. We know what the requirements are for that kind of thing. We've done assessments for people's websites,
mm-hmm.
which Larry said he was going to do an assessment, and I still haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So anyway, I'm just saying no to Larry because, well...
No to his approach.
To his approach. I compared him to Michael Arrington of TechCrunch, and he took it as a compliment. It was definitely not meant to be a compliment because Arrington is arrogant and likes to create drama, create the lulls on the internet to get clicks on his website, TechCrunch.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have considered him John Edwards, possibly. I don't know.
We'll leave that there.
But anyway, in podcasting and doing shows like this, it's better to approach people with a kind manner so that you can have them as a resource as opposed to creating enemies and harsh feelings. So I'll give Larry an extra chance, maybe.
Yeah, unless forgiving. I would. I mean, if you're going to approach and talk sensibly and have a dialogue with someone, that's perfectly fine. If you are willing to listen to both sides of the story and have the other person speak their piece, that's fine. If all you want to do is approach us and yell and scream, we will ignore you.
Yes, very much so.
That's all we'll say.
And now for something completely different.
We will now return to our regularly scheduled programming.
Yes. In security news, as we normally do, QuickTime, which is sent out by Apple, has a flaw that is a buffer overflow that will occasionally crash programs and possibly spread malware on your system if you download an inappropriate movie file.
Oh my goodness.
This is affecting Windows only, and Macintosh computers are not affected by this because they patched it a long time ago. If you download iTunes and use iTunes, most likely you have been pestered more than one time to install QuickTime, and you most likely said, yes, go ahead, so you'll shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you have not updated iTunes lately, you may want to do so because they have pushed out version 7.6.7 of QuickTime that will fix this problem on your Windows XP Service Pack 3 or greater. Now, we will move into the world of social networking.
Yes, there is a Facebook scam that people are going to be falling for because it will say that they are going to now be able to use not only the like button to like content, but also a dislike button to dislike content.
Yeah, and it claims that it is a official dislike button for your Facebook account. A lot of people's status messages have been changing to this. In actuality, this is a complete scam because a lot of people have been protesting wanting a dislike button since they have the like button.
Exactly.
But instead, this will actually send you to a website asking you to do a survey. When you do the survey, you're giving the scammers actually money for people clicking through their pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not really known as to whether they do anything malicious or not, but it will spam all of your friends in Facebook saying, hey, I just took this survey. You need to really get, or I just downloaded the dislike button. You really need to get this. It's the official one. And I believe at the end of the survey, it actually will take you to Firefox where you can
yes.
get a plugin that is a dislike button.
Yeah, it is a dislike button. In some way I don't understand, apparently the company that makes the extension isn't actually in on the scam. I'm not really sure how that's working out. But apparently, really the only malicious thing that this does, actually it's very malicious, but I mean it doesn't get into your computer and destroy your files or anything, but it does spam all your friends and tell them that you did this and ask them to get one too.
Well, a ploy with a lot of the games is that, mm-hmm. okay, well, you can get extra coins or credit or
right.
or game cash if you complete these surveys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll send you the credits or whatever to your account.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly all it is getting clickbait so that you'll go to their website, get click-throughs, and send you a lot of spam in your email.
Right. Now, Facebook has also had a problem where people's names and pictures were getting leaked out.
Yes, it is a loophole that they have put in place, sort of, that is to assist people in logging into their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Facebook and you mistype your account, the next screen that pops up for the error message says, oh, well, it pre-fills your username and shows a picture of you saying, oh, well, please try again.
Mm-hmm.
So if a spammer or criminal does this, they would be able to actually get your email address and know what you look like.
Oh, dear.
So that they could actually find your specific profile on mm-hmm. Facebook and know that it's you. So they have not rolled out a fix that I have heard of as of yet. In another Facebook thing, some people have been complaining that email notifications were not coming out for
yes.
messages and wall updates and things like that. Well, Facebook had deactivated this or slowed the process of this for the last couple of weeks.
I lost some. I know I did.
Yeah, in sort of a test of their system just
yeah.
to see what people's thoughts were.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they could have asked, but I guess with 500 million subscribers, it's a little difficult.
Yeah, it's a little hard.
But as of this past Friday, they have fixed the issue, and mm-hmm. you should be getting your email notifications. If I never got those, I would never go to the website, which is what I don't do.
Yeah, I hardly ever go there unless I get them. And so when I didn't get them over the past, I don't know, was it 2 or 3 weeks or something? There were like 4 or 5 things that I had in my requests queue, and I was kind of like, I didn't know about these.
And speaking of places that you really can't go, which
exactly.
is North Korea.
Yes.
But you can go to North Korea via Twitter.
They're on Twitter now. I don't know what the name of the account is actually spelled, but apparently it means something like Our Nation. And they are on Twitter. They have, or whoever, the government apparently,
I wonder if it's the dear leader.
Must be. Has tweeted a couple of things. One of which I think was a test tweet saying that they were on Twitter, and then a couple of them were links to government documents.
Which is kind of a crazy thing, because probably most of the people in North Korea are not allowed to have internet access
exactly.
to get to Twitter.
Exactly. Oh, this is sort of along the lines of the month ago when they launched their YouTube channel that has state-sanctioned
content
on it. Yeah. So this is kind of along the same lines, but... In North Korea, most people aren't allowed to access the internet anyway.
And in other news, in the same exact region, South yes. Korea, on the other side of the wall.
The police raided Google's offices.
Yes, and it's not really clear why they raided Google other than it is speculated that it is in regards to the Street View spying case of collecting data.
Right.
It's not sure what, no one is sure whether it is sort of ulterior motives as whether there's another reason for them doing that.
Yeah.
So maybe more to come for that. Google, who supposedly, as we reported last week, had said something about net neutrality
yeah.
and making a deal with Verizon, but then they claimed that they didn't make a deal with Verizon, and then the FCC said that it wasn't a good thing for them to do this.
Then
and then on Monday they said we did.
So I'm a little confused as to what this deal actually is. It sounds like a lot of jibber jabber to me.
Well, what Google and Verizon are doing is they're sort of saying that they're working on the idea of theory.
Yes.
They're sort of theorizing that they need to probably packet shape content mm-hmm. on the internet as far as mobile devices so that the infrastructure for mobile content is actually more useful.
Yeah. So let's clarify at the outset, this does not apply to computers and all of that. This applies to wireless
cell phones and devices
and
like
other
iPads.
Devices like iPads and iPod touches and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, and AT&T has chimed in and said that they sort of agree with this method as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of unclear as to exactly what they're talking about, but they're just claiming that the infrastructure for wireless spectrum data here in the U.S. is not what it needs to be, and they need to sort of limit things. Seems like to me it would make more sense if they just tiered the broadband prices for the packages that you
yeah,
get.
Yeah, okay, that would make sense to
me. You use more data, you pay, as opposed to bringing it down to a small little portion that you're mm-hmm. allowed to use, and then you're sitting here going, well, I can't really use the internet, or
yeah.
I can't use the phone for what I want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, or, you know, other things like, these will only apply to new features that we roll out. So it's sort of like you won't be entitled to some of the features because of the, you know, packet the package that they end up giving you.
Yeah, some speculation was, okay, well, Google would be able to say, okay, we own YouTube, Verizon. Mm-hmm. We only want mobile users to be able to see 10 to 15 seconds of a YouTube clip.
Exactly.
Don't allow them to stream the whole thing. That way they have to go and view it elsewhere.
Right.
You know, just to save bandwidth as far as the Android phones and such.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it either. It's not making a lot of sense.
Apparently there are like 7 principles involved in this policy, and it doesn't make much sense to me, but Google has a whole blog entry devoted to it, explaining
yeah.
it. And
if you're really interested in it, if you go over to twit.tv/twig, TWIG, the most recent episode from last Wednesday.
Of This Week in Google.
This Week in Google with
Jeff
Leah
Jarvis
Laporte.
And Gina Trapani.
Yeah. They really had a great discussion with a lady, I can't remember what her name was, from GigaOM, talking about the net neutrality issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it a real good explanation and a lot of the theory behind
mm-hmm.
it. So,
yeah, you might check that out if you're interested. Last Google news. Google is chiming in and saying that the lawsuit against it via Oracle regarding Java is baseless.
Yes, this is a lawsuit against Google for creating the Android operating system.
Mm-hmm.
They have developed their own flavor, if you will, since you don't like the word flavor, for variations. The Devlet version of Java, the Java runtime environment, mm-hmm. is what Android is built on.
Okay.
Well, Java was owned by Sun. Sun then was purchased by Oracle recently, and it's kind of a guesstimate as to maybe Java said, okay, well Sun said, you know, maybe if you purchase us, then you can go after Google because you're bigger than we are,
right.
and you can get something out of this. Java is an open source programming language, and it's really unclear at this point whether Google violated the open source terms by taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that and making their own Android operating system.
Hmm.
This is kind of like there was a big dispute between SCO, Unix, and Linux or something back in the late 90s, and apparently that was recently settled. But
so, to give that some perspective, if that dispute started in the late 90s and was recently settled,
this
should
is going
we
to
be
take
looking
decades.
For years and years of litigation, probably, on this?
No. There'll probably be years and years upon years.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Years and years of litigation.
That is what decades mean.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
There's your little bit of humor for the day.
So it will take years to iron this out and see where this is going, but we wanted to let you know that it was starting off.
Yawn.
Yeah, so now we have some interesting news about the whole BlackBerry RIM international scandal.
Yes, and this is our other part of listener mail.
Yes.
We appreciate listener mail,
this
as
is
we
awesome.
Said before.
This is from Robin Plitt regarding our BlackBerry rant from last week.
Hi, guys. First, I love the podcast, and I think you both do a terrific job and have a great trap word with one another. However, I think you missed the point on your BlackBerry/RIM story. The reason Hillary Clinton is wanting to get involved to ensure BlackBerry devices in the AE, etc., is because all those government officials who go to that part of the world use BlackBerries. Many U.S. government agencies, I know Treasury for sure, issue these devices to their employees so that they can stay in touch with work. The BlackBerry system is easily connected to Outlook, which is the default for government computers. Thanks for the shows. Keep up the good work.
And that is definitely a good point.
And that is from who?
That is from Robin Plitt.
Yes. I believe of Florida.
Yes, Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes.
And that is definitely a good point. I was not clear last week when we talked about this. My assumption was the BlackBerry, the ban, was only going to affect residents of the country and not actual world travelers.
Well, and that's what I had seen as well, that...
but maybe
the
not.
That the request of the, what is it, UAE?
UAE.
The United Arab
Emirates.
I need like a soundboard that I can hit words that I can't pronounce. That'd be nice.
You have me for that.
Oh, okay. I'll just punch you. But I had seen a couple of articles last week that were saying that India and Saudi Arabia and all of these different countries had been wanting access to their local users and mm-hmm. government officials. I saw one that I can't remember what website it was on that had said that the BlackBerry issue was going to exclude outside people as far as government officials and things like that.
From the U.S. Kind
from of, the U.S.
From
or
other countries
like the U.K. and mm-hmm. such. So a lot of it was kind of unclear as to whether Hillary Clinton was actually trying to protect the rights of American citizens or was she trying to protect the rights of UAE citizens.
Yeah, and we're really not sure about that. So
yeah, and it's still unclear.
It's still unclear.
And the whole issue has continued on. The UAE has not banned the BlackBerries as of yet. They have given RIM, who produces the BlackBerries, more time to do this. RIM has actually agreed to assist them in inspecting the data. It's still one of those developing stories where it's not really clear as to whether they are going to put a server farm in Saudi Arabia for all the traffic to go to, whether they're going to actually give them encryption keys or a way of sniffing the packets that mm-hmm. everyone is tossing around or what. But RIM has also come out saying that, well, we're still going to protect the data of their customers.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along the lines, they have told Saudi Arabia that, yes, we can
Saudi
assist
Arabia
you.
Or the UAE?
Well, Saudi Arabia.
Because there's like 3 or 4 countries now involved.
Yeah, well, Saudi Arabia and the UAE apparently have accepted RIM's explanation, mm-hmm. even though it's kind of doublespeak.
Right.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that a synthesizer?
Doublespeak?
Double something?
No, I don't think so.
What was it? The double something? You had one of those.
Double talk.
Double talk. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Double talk.
That is our double talk moment. Now, India has jumped into the fray because I guess they have been wanting this for the last couple of years. And now they're saying that they want to
get rid of BlackBerries.
They want to get rid of BlackBerries or be able to get their data.
Exactly.
BlackBerries are known for being very secure.
Mm-hmm.
If they can still get the data and all this kind of stuff and share it with the government, how secure
is that?
I don't know. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats getting involved with that was kind of
interesting
when they've got other things going on. But I did hear today that they are actually tossing their hats into the ring of the net neutrality thing with Google and Verizon.
Ooh.
Because they're saying that it shouldn't be companies' responsibilities to make their product last longer.
I see.
So they're kind of doing something for the customers and citizens at the same time as confusing us with this other thing.
Well, we'll see what happens.
In other nations that are kind of frustrated with,
Germany.
What? RIM and the iPhone. Germany is considering or in the process of banning the iPhone and BlackBerries because they are afraid of spying and such in their country.
Yeah, so they are thinking about banning the use of smartphones by their government officials because they are afraid of somebody, spies, espionage people, getting a hold of
double
all that secure data. Double agents. Ooh.
They don't want double agents double talking.
Yeah. But this is not, they don't want their citizens' data. This is more like we're afraid of outside spies, so we want to protect our secret government data, so we're not going to put it on smartphones. So they're not singling out any specific smartphone. They're just thinking about banning all smartphones from government use.
Yeah, they're also the same. That's also the same country of Germany that has banned the use of Google or Google Street View or something like mm-hmm. that. They've been sort of proactive and kind of hate
I think that's
Google.
The Street View, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't like Google.
I think it's China that's gotten rid of Google's
China's gotten
website.
Rid of Google's website, yeah. I mean,
we'll
if you
get
go
this
to,
straight after a little
after
while.
After a while, we'll get it straight.
The map of social networking and all such.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Facebook search could answer the question for me.
Probably not.
No, probably
There's also
not.
Some other international news about WikiLeaks.
Yes. The U.S. has been accused of asking hackers to attack WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, if you have been under a rock, hidden in a cave, deep in the bowels of
the earth.
Yeah, exactly. WikiLeaks had posted some information that was military related over the last month, I guess it was,
mm-hmm.
about strategies and troop placements and things like this. And they got a lot of flack for it. And supposedly they got that information from a soldier. We really hadn't covered that here because mainstream media, including Fox News and CBS and CNN and all this kind of stuff, have been
beating people over the heads with it.
Oy.
Just like with the stupid iPhone antenna thing. Yeah, so we learned our lesson from that, and we're not really talking about the WikiLeaks, but... Yeah.
So you can find that somewhere else. But the U.S. government has been accused of getting hackers to attack WikiLeaks in other countries.
Right.
But the government here has denounced that and said that would be greatly ridiculous.
Yeah, so who knows? But that is news about WikiLeaks. And that's
yes.
all we'll say right now, but... In other news,
Skype is trying to go for an IPO.
Wow, it's about time.
Well, they're trying to actually show that, hey, we are an actual company and we do make money.
Exactly.
Apparently, Skype has 560 million accounts.
Woo!
124 million of those are actually active, and 8.1 million of their customers actually pay a monthly subscription,
mm-hmm.
like we do for our home phone.
Yes.
Which is a glorious thing because if you use that number for, say, credit card companies and places that you shop, their telemarketers end up going to that number.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing.
Wonderful.
Anyway, 8.1 million of the Skype users actually pay a monthly subscription that averages about $95 a month.
A year. A year. Whoa, I was going to say, wait a minute. Yeah, so they are making money, and they are now trying to register themselves.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yay.
I mean, they provide a great service. Mm-hmm. They're actually very accessible on the iPhone. You can make calls and things.
And I don't think they're going to start charging for that.
No, they kind of backed off of that in August. They were supposed to start charging, but they have not done so as of yet.
I used it flawlessly on the first time. It was great.
And
on the iPhone.
Yeah, and tip on the Skype is if you are doing podcast or anything like that, you should definitely have a USB microphone headset of some sort.
Yeah.
Just so that you can get a good clear signal going. Apple has gotten rid of their antenna guy called Papermaster.
Yeah, wasn't it Edward? Mark Papermaster?
Something like that, yes.
Mark Papermaster.
Who came from IBM originally.
Yeah, and apparently he was the head of the antenna project design team people, and they got rid of him. And everyone is chiming in thinking that this is because of the antenna issue and because he was in charge of the project. That's why they got rid of him. But then Apple piped up and said, oh, no, we lost confidence in him months ago. It had nothing to do with the antenna issue. His style, he was not innovative enough. He did not think like Apple executives are supposed to think, so we decided to get rid of him. So, I mean, who knows what it was, but that was Steve Jobs' claim last week.
Yeah, I believe somebody, Alex Lindsay on MacBreak Weekly this past week said, yeah, Steve's driving the bus, and he says, hey, Mark, come up here a minute. I want to show you something up here in the street. Oh, look, I just shoved you out the door. Sorry.
Oh, oops.
Watch out. The bus is moving along and running right over you.
Yep. In other company CEO news, the CEO of HP has resigned last week over an alleged sexual harassment scandal.
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
Mr. Hurd, who was the CEO of HP, who basically resurrected HP from the doldrums, kind of in the same fashion as Steve Jobs, he apparently misappropriated funds by making charges to pay for his so-called assistant mistress something or another.
Yeah.
Who was Jody Fisher, I believe.
Fisher, yes.
She's like a softcore porn star or something.
Yeah, it was something, or a model or something.
Does some of those Cinemax After Dark movies and such.
Yeah.
Risque, as it were. Apparently, he paid for some different things for her, did not appropriate them correctly. Supposedly, that was what they forced him out with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of unclear as to what went on there. Details continue to roll.
Yes. But we wanted to point that out, and we will switch gears.
Because that is a big story that everybody has been talking about
in for
tech
week.
Stuff like crazy, because it's sort of scandalous and such.
Yeah. So we will switch gears entirely and talk about some accessibility news now. Dolphin, the makers of the Dolphin products, have released version 6.0, I believe, of their Easy Reader Daisy reading software. This version gives couple other capabilities, like being able to stop and stop the reading and pause the reading for selected intervals. So in other words, if you need to have it read aloud and it's reading and reading and reading, and then you want to stop to kind of think about things, you can set it to pause at the end of paragraphs, for example, for a selected length of time. Quite handy. And also, you now have the ability to copy and paste quotations of the text from the reader into Microsoft Word or your other word processing solution of choice. So those are two of the main new features in this new version.
Most people would like that, especially with PDFs or something.
Well, these are Daisy books.
Yeah.
So
totally different.
Totally format. Different, but the same. It's a software-based program, and you now have that ability. So that was thought good to introduce that.
Then we have on the radar for the deaf a credit card scam going around.
Yeah, it was pretty pathetic. These guys, I don't know where they were located, but they started to use the TTY system to pretend like they were deaf so they could get sympathy and get extra money wired to them.
Yeah,
this happened, this one woman had a catering business, and a guy called up with the TTY, the phone relay service, and of course asked for 150 chicken Caesar salads for his mother's birthday party. And she said, okay, fine. He said, charge them to this credit card. Well, they went through a couple of credit cards and finally got one that she accepted, that was accepted. And then he said, oh, by the way, could you wire an extra $1,200 to such and such a place in Arkansas? And she thought that was a little weird. And he got a little agitated when she wouldn't give over the money and when she kept saying no. And come to find out, the credit card that was in question was a stolen credit card. So they are people who are asking for extra money to be charged to a credit card that has nothing to do with the purchase and are using TTY systems to masquerade as deaf individuals to play on people's sympathies.
But you may ask yourself, why would they choose TTY? Well, TTY calls are actually routed through a central call center that sort of hides who it's coming from. So there's no way to really trace what's going on.
Exactly. And all you hear is someone's voice who's not the caller reading what the caller is typing.
It's kind of like I've heard stories of people saying that they were receiving phone calls, but the phone would ring, and then all of a sudden there was no call there when they actually did it. It would just be like one little chirp or something. And to turn out, it was actually people in prison making three-way calls, because you can make sort of a call by way of somebody else's number.
Ooh.
It's kind of a strange thing. So you have to disable third-party calling from your by your phone company so that this cannot happen.
I see.
It's kind of a bizarre thing.
But that is different from TTY, but that is the reason that they were using the TTY.
Yeah,
so that
but
they
it's kind of masking. It's kind of masking who they're calling.
Exactly, so. Where they're calling from.
Yeah.
In other...
I have a story.
Yes, in other... I have a story news.
Speaking of scams and stories, we now have a different kind of story.
Yes, a good story. iStory, I think it's iStory.com in California, releases iPhone apps and for children. And one of them they have released for deaf children. It is called something like Danny the Dragon Meets Jimmy, or is it Jimmy the Dragon Meets Danny? It's something like that. And it has, it's a, of course, an iBook for the iPhone and iPad with sign language interpretations and a vivid visual kind of interaction to it. So that has been released, and I think in addition to audio narration, it has sign language interpretation alongside that, ASL, alongside that. Other sort of ASL news, the Microsoft Kinect game controller is going to be able to respond to commands given in American Sign Language, somehow. Not quite sure how, but somehow, at least in the future, so they say, it's going to be able to do that.
Huh. That's a different one.
Yeah, it's in our bookmarks, and I just thought I would include it on the spur of the moment. I think the control is going to cost something like $150 and will be out in the next few months.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out, I believe, in November.
Something like that.
It's probably going to allow you to actually do sign language with your hands,
yes.
I would think,
yes.
Because the new Xboxes and the actual Kinect software actually comes with a camera on the front that
yes.
you can use for scanning your body into it and actually having a lifelike figure of yourself, as well as I believe you can make phone calls through the crazy thing. So one of the things they showed at E3 this year was the fact that you could sit there on the couch and watch a movie. Well, you could also call your best friend Sally Mae, and hey, you both could sit there and watch the same movie and converse while you're doing it. Cheesy.
Okay.
I don't know that I would go for that. Anyway,
we'll
go into some legal stuff.
Yeah, the National Federation for the Blind and the Department of the U.S. Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, are still on board and together with the settlement that they have reached with certain universities requiring them to purchase textbooks that are not strictly limited to devices like the Kindle. In other words, the textbooks have to be in a format that is accessible if they're purchased, you know, ebooks. So a lot of universities are still upset with that, but it's just worth pointing out that the NFB, ACB, and other blindness organizations, along with the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, are still in agreement that this is something that is very necessary.
Well, if you're impacting somebody's potential to educate themselves,
exactly.
That's definitely not something that should go unnoticed.
No, no. I'm just saying we just want to point it out again that
oh, yeah.
the settlement still stands and still applies to universities.
Yes.
So,
still going.
Still going. The Department of Transportation is also having a meeting on August the 20th regarding the Americans with Disabilities Act. Kind of all the departments are kind of revamping themselves a little bit. This new 20-year re-examination of the ADA. And it is holding a public meeting on the 20th to talk about that. And the period for public comment on any modifications that the DOT is making is extended until August 25th. And if you want to comment, you can go to regulations.gov and find out more information.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on my schedule, I also see a thing here called Federal PR DOC.
That's what that was.
Oh, that's the 2010-06-69
yes.
or mm-hmm. whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was kind of confusing me because it yeah. looked like a date.
Yeah, I know. It does look like a date.
And I don't think there's 67 days in any particular month.
No, no.
Maybe on another galaxy.
Maybe.
In another galaxy. Not on it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. No. We digress.
We digress.
But we did want to pass along the Darkness Cane.
Yeah, this is so cool. I don't know if this is new or anything, but I know someone who uses this.
Yeah, I had passed this along to you from mm-hmm. a... Pratik Patel.
Oh, we know him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Pratik uses this. It is by Ambutech, and it is essentially a cane with a light at the tip. So its tip lights up, and you can navigate at night, and your cane is visible to other pedestrians and or passersby, cars and things, because the tip is essentially a light.
What will they come up with next?
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know. Kind of wonder what all these people are thinking. What were you thinking? Well, when you die, you're dead. But you can also be, well, screwed now. Some guy applied for a patent and was granted one for the screw-in coffin.
Yes.
So apparently what this is, you are placed in it standing up, and you are screwed into the ground. The coffin is screwed into the ground with the big machine thing. So that instead of occupying a 6-foot-long horizontal space, you are occupying a 6-foot-deep vertical space.
I would hate to know that when I die, someone is going to put me in a casket, and they're going to screw me into the ground like a bolt.
That's just disturbing. I mean, I really don't actually care one way or the other, and I understand the considerations. It's like, you know, the Earth is getting more and more populated. There's less and less land area. But somehow the thought of being buried standing up is very disturbing to me.
I would just fear that the mechanism that actually does the spinning would actually malfunction. And next thing you know, I'm sitting in the middle of the core of the Earth going, "Dadgone, it's hot in here."
Exactly. Or it would malfunction and it would, like, the coffin would hit rocks or something and be busted all to pieces.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. It brings an all new meaning to taking your last ride, I guess.
And being, yeah.
Or just the fact that everyone can just say, "Boy, he really got screwed on that one."
Exactly. Exactly.
Before we go any farther on this crazy mess that you have been listening to, known as Tech Access Weekly,
episode 56,
we will stop.
Exactly. So thank you all for listening to us.
Sorry about the rant sort of at the beginning concerning Larry of Newhart.
Yeah, and we don't mean to come across as defensive, but we do want to explain our positions.
Yeah, I would prefer to work with people as opposed to turning them off to me.
Yeah.
I would rather have a community situation as mm-hmm. opposed to just making people frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So anyway, we appreciate that you are listening. If you have any comments, suggestions, or such like, feel free to let us know.
Email, Twitter, or voice line, which
exactly.
no one seems to ever call the voice line, but that's okay.
That's okay.
You can also email a MP3 file if you would prefer to do that.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't filled out our PodTrack survey, you're more than welcome to do that. I got to fill it out last week. Yay.
Yes.
But if you'd like to do that also, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, and suggestions are welcome. If you want to do tips, please let us know and we'll get you in. If you want to be a part of this disaster known as Tech Access Weekly, you can also join that fray as well. Maybe you could actually keep us on task.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a little Dvorak out there somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
I don't know.
Anyway, we will sign off on that note.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.